The Mishnah starts out with a slew of psulim of sukkah. It's interesting, it leaves out, we'll discuss this later, it leaves out the psul of the area. Right? It leaves out the minimal area of the sukkah, which is going to be discussed on Daf Gimel, like Rubo v'shulchano, like why doesn't it list that already? Like, you know, it's giving everything else, the height, right? How many walls, schach, leaves out the size. That's something we will discuss at a later time. It's interesting to point out. Now, as an intro to the intro, so Rabbeinu German had an intro to the intro on the video, on the marathon video. As an intro to the intro, it's important as we go through this mesechta, what's critical, and especially as we go through the first perek, what's critical is to always appreciate, well, what are we talking about when we're dealing with mitzvahs and psulim and not being mekayim a mitzvah? So there's two areas. There's in the mitzvah is the chefetz shel mitzvah, the entity of the mitzvah, and the entity of the mitzvah could be possible, could be invalid. That's pashtus of the lashon. So you go through the first perek. Possible means that the chefetz, and the first perek deals with the chefetz of the mitzvah. So nothing to talk about, right? If you have a chefetz that's invalid, then you don't have a mitzvah because it's a puzzle, chefetz shel mitzvah. But then you could have a kosher chefetz shel mitzvah, but just not be yotze for a couple of different reasons. It could be because you're not doing the maisa mitzvah properly, or because the something inhibiting the kiyuma mitzvah, either min haTorah or min haRabbanan. Okay, but that's important to appreciate. And sometimes it's not always so simple, because you know usually you'll think if it's something external, and it has to do with you know teshu kein tadu, let's say by sukkah. So you'd say, oh, you have a sukkah. But the issue is, you know, it's raining, and that's external. That seems to be your ability to fulfill the mitzvah when it's raining, but it doesn't seem to impact on the chavdus of mitzvah. It's not so simple. It's not always so simple. It could be that sometimes context and external, what's seemingly external, actually could be right then and there, in that particular context and scenario, could be, you know, invalidating the actual chefetz shel sukkah. Okay? Sometimes, you know, it could be that the conception, right? I'll give you an example. Right away, we're going to see, you know, l'mala michaf, according to Rabbah. If you remember, you should have gotten to that. So l'mala michaf, according to Rabbah, shalosh shalta be'ena, that you have to l'man yedu dereseichem. So that sounds very much like you have to know that you're sitting in a sukkah. It sounds very gavredik. It sounds very much in terms of the key of a mitzvah. But if you look, you know, first of all, the Parshas HaMishnah itself is dealing with the sukkah. But you see Rashi even, he says, asei sukkah sheyeshivaso nikeres. In other words, the sukkah has to be a sukkah in which the yeshiva in the sukkah, right, has the schach being nikar. So you have to know, like, you know, like at first glance you would say, oh, this is a gavredik thing and you have a good sukkah according to Rabbah. Just a question of you appreciating what you're in, right? But you see that that's not necessarily the case, okay? So that's something that's very, very important to distinguish as we're going to go through the first parak. Another very important issue, okay, is, and this is mamish very striking when it comes to sukkah, and that is that sukkah, make some good brushes for sukkahs when we get to sukkahs. Sukkah, I'd say, unlike, let's say, esrog and lulav, is the ultimate abstract chavtza shel mitzvah. What do I mean by that? See, when you're dealing with something like esrog and lulav, we're going to get to, hopefully, mirz Hashem, lulav agazel. So there you have a basic physical entity that makes up the core mitzvah. You know, you have an esrog, and you got a lulav, and assuming everything is good, you got yourself a good esrog and lulav. There might be psulim, and there might be things that, you know, mafkiyit from being esrog and lulav, but, you know, you're dealing with certain entities that make them what they are. Obviously, it has to be, in the end, the halachic esrog and lulav. When it comes to sukkah, no such thing. Like, you know, you could have something that looks like the ultimate hut, but, you know, it's not puzzle. I tell you, it's not a sukkah at all, right? Right? You could have you know, something that's, let's say, if it's bias shell, you know, shall call a shana that happens to be made is totally like a, you know, a sukkah. It won't even be a chefter shell sukkah. On the other hand, you could have, you know, all right. I don't know if you have in Flapper store of David Cohn's. You ever see Rav David Cohn's sukkahs? Rav David Cohn, you ever see Rav David Cohn's sukkah? He always makes a pure halachic sukkah to show you that you could have, like, you know, a sukkah made up of strings and ropes. You know, so he has like lovers all over the place. He has a dofen akuma. He has good achises, you know, wherever you can have them. You know, you look at the thing, it's like a bunch of, you know, strings and flapping things and, you know, and the schach is a certain way. That's a sukkah. So the actual chefza shel sukkah is very far from, you know, a physical hut. Why am I saying this? Because when it comes to sukkah, then the particular issue that I'm going to talk about right now becomes very difficult to discern without Rishonim or without something that's clearly logical. Very, very compellingly logical. Meaning, whenever you're dealing with a psul in the chefta shel mitzvah, one question you always have to ask is that entity psul in the sense that it's not that entity anymore? It's not that entity. That's not what it is. Or is it, no, it is a sukkah, it just has a psul that makes it not a valid entity. Right? For example, that's what I'm saying. By esrog and lulav, it's very simple. If you take an apple, right, instead of an esrog, you just take a pusil esrog, you take an apple, right? Or take some citrus fruit, you know, a lemon, pashtus, you don't got an esrog, okay? Masha enkein, right, if you have dots and things like that. On an esrog, it could be pretty clear that that's, you know, you have an esrog, but you have, you know, a psul. Whatever the psul is going to be. Shalem, a hadar, manuma, whatever these psulim are, but you have the chefta shel mitzvah. Again, sometimes the nature of the psulim can render it that you don't have the chefta shel mitzvah. Obviously, you cut the esrog in half, you know, you chuck out half of the esrog, you know, you probably don't have a chefta shel mitzvah anymore. But the principle, it's a lot easier. Mashen came by sukkah, almost every single time you have to ask yourself. You have a psul here of lamala mechaf. So what's the pshat? Is the pshat that you don't got a sukkah? Or is that you got a sukkah, but it's pasul? You say, oh, what's a nafkamina? So it can be very important nafkamina if you have a psul. So let's say when we get to the sugya of sukkah agabe sukkah. Right? So is the sukkah above it going to pass the sukkah below it? The terrace sukkah agave sukkah. If it's not a sukkah, then it's not going to pass the agave, right? Sukkah agave sukkah. So impact that sukkah later on. Or, for example, you know, when it comes to the mitzvah of chinuch, we're going to see later on there might be havaminas that, or even shittos, that you could be mechanech a kid, you know, we have a deposit not this way, with an esrog and lulav of psulim. We pass because you shouldn't use a pasul esrog and lulav, but you don't have to use mehudar, but you shouldn't use a pasul esrog and lulav. But there are deis, there might be deis in the Rishonim that say, as long as you have an esrog and a lulav, even if it's a psulim, it's good. So too, like with sukkah, you can eat an afkamina. If the malam ichav is going to impact the sugya of aleni amalka on Amud Beis, if you got to it, because with the kids and the chinuch. If the Malam Ichaf is not a sukkah at all, then obviously you can't, L'chol Deus, you're not going to be able to fulfill the mitzvah of chinuch with a kid in a sukkah of Malam Ichaf. But if it's just a sukkah with a psul, then according to the Deus that allow you to be mechanic kids if you have the basic ethical mitzvah just with psulim, then, okay, you will be able to fulfill your mitzvah of chinuch. Again, we don't pass it that way, but I'm just trying to show you it's important to know whether you're dealing with a sukkah psula or there's no sukkah at all. Now the Mishnah itself, and then we're going to start out with Rashi. You know, the fact that it says psula doesn't really tell you much. So I'm defining it as sukkah psula versus not a sukkah at all. That's just in terms of our difference. But the Mishnah, when it says sukkah psula, it could be referring to either one. It could be referring to that it's not a sukkah, especially by sukkah, because, as I said, everything, that's what I meant to say. Everything is basically a criteria and defined yesh me'ayin by the Torah. It's a halachic entity. It's not a physical entity. So when it says psula, it just means like that which you made is not valid. Why is it not valid? Because it's not a sukkah, or because it's, as we call it, like a psul, a blemish. Yeah, what do you want to say? Yeah, there might be nafkah mina tasav lomina asui. Correct. Excellent. Okay. So these are going to be very important. Okay. All right. We're going to tasav lomina asui. You'll see there are going to be layers of issues with that. Okay, now we begin. That was the intro to the intro. Now, first sugi, which is the intro. By the way, the next sugya after this, sugya beis, I'm still quarrying. I'll paskin by Shabbos whether we're going to do beis right away or whether we're going to come back to Beis. The reason why is because sugya Beis is very heavy. Okay, sugya Beis is very heavy, and it's going to take at least three shiurim. And I it's not. It gets triggered from Rashi, Chavasim Yubilik Tzadasa, but it's really a sugya on Chav Beis, and I'm not sure we want to get barred down. We might want to get through the Gemara, the different shitos, Rabba, Rav Zera, Rava, Chinuch, and then come back. We're definitely not going to skip it, because it's one of the biggest, major sugyas in the first parak of Sukkah, even though it's a sugya on Chav Beis, but most people deal with it on Beis Amin Aleph, so we're definitely going to do it. I'm not sure we're going to do it again. I think you might skip to Gimel. I'm going to leave it as Beis because that's where it's structured, But we might not do it till after. Okay. You missed the intro to the intro.
Yeah, I was hoping to just get for the intro.
Yeah, I realized that. But you might be a little clueless in the intro without the intro.
I'll get the notes from Stern.
Yeah. Okay. Today was the first day in 25 years of chinuch that every single guy had a notebook in my shiur first day. Okay. It might be another 25 years till I get everyone with notebook on the second day. But it's still a... I said, what are you guys? All of Arnold Juniors? Okay, like... Right away, Rashi, Chamasa Ruba Tilasa. So I said, there's so much going on in this Rashi. One's going to be the issue of Sugya Beis, which is a three-day Sugya minimum in and of itself. But then there are other loaded things in this Rashi that we're gonna bring up, you know, on the side, but also then zero in on the part that's relevant to this Sugya, okay? So as you went through this Rashi, obviously, you were all bothered by a couple of things. Number one, you were bothered. I'm just assuming without asking you because I want to get the intro done with today. I want to get moving, and that is you were all, I'm sure, bothered by Hamuet Batel Barov, and then Rashi feels the need to tell you Vaharei Hu Kimi She'eno, and it's like it's not around at all. The shade, the schach. I'm not getting into what we're talking about here, the shade or the schach, because that's Sugya Beis, that's the Sugya Chav Beis in contrast to Beis, but here we're going to keep it vague. Airspace, right, versus shade versus schach. You have a majority of sunlight versus shade, then going to be puzzle. Why? Because the muat is batel barov, namely the schach, namely the shade is batel barov, and it's like it's gone, not there at all. Number one is, what's Rashi getting into, like, so dramatic? What is this? He's teaching us Yaradaya here. Hareyu kumi she'eno. It's like it's not there. And what if it's just a little bit there, and like, you know, just insignificant, like Kamisha Eino. It's getting very, you know, dramatic. And also, if that's some Shalom Batel Barov, Rashi feels the need to, you know, teach us about Batel Barov here. Okay, but maybe yes, maybe it's, you know, maybe he doesn't think you've been exposed yet to Bittel. What comes first, Sukkah or Beitza?
Sukkah.
So maybe it's the first time he wants to, you know, maybe there's no Bittel in Shabbos, I don't know. Anyway, that he discussed to teach you about Bittel. But anyway, the Chayre, it's a little strange that he's getting this involved. And then he goes on to some totally arbitrary statement, seemingly. The Al Shema Schach Kruya Sukkah. Great. Giving us a whole schmooze now. The Al Shema Schach Kruya Sukkah. What's he telling us that? That for now, like that's something important to tell us right now, right? So that's just in terms of the Rashi itself. Even assuming you didn't know anything, you weren't Bekiyim and Shas, okay? You would have these problems. But being the great Shas Yediyus men that we all are, you all have, I'm sure, the great Achreinish problem here. Which we'll discuss a little bit, maybe momentarily. We're not going to have a shiur on it in and of itself. Maybe during Sukkot, maybe we'll have a shiur on this. And that is the whole yisoid here of Bittel Barov is extremely difficult. How could this be talking about Bittel Barov? Bittel Barov, one of the criteria of Bittel Barov in Yavesh B'Yavesh is that the miyut is not nicker. Well, here the miyut is nicker. So, what does it mean, bittel barov? What is he talking about? Talking about ruvo vekulo, ruvo kekulo. If it's ruvo kekulo, say ruvo kekulo. Why say bittel barov? Right? Like kamisha eino sounds like a, you know, bittel barov. Like, what's the pshat? So, I'll give you a pshat what I think he means by bittel barov or any kamisha eino. After, if we have time and we get through this whole intro shiur, we'll come back to that. But I'm more interested in now in, okay, when all is said and done, whatever he means by Bittel Barov, he means it. And to the point where, Kamisha Eino, there is no what? There is no schach here. There is no shade here. It's a zero. And then he goes, oh, v'al shem eschach kriyusim. So I think this relates, the answer, I think, a shtickle relates to the intro, to the intro. And that is, okay, and that is, what I think is bothering Rashi here is, all the other sulam, as you see from the earlier parts of Rashi, the Gemara Mefarish Putayu, the Gemara Mefarish Taima, right? Gemara Yalaflu. These are all things that the Gemara gets to are going to bring sources from, right? Maybe Machlokasim in it, as he says, maybe Plutayu, Rab or Zera, right? But all these things have the Gemara, you know, Menahani Mili, and the Gemara gives answers. Either Pashat answers, most of them are Machlokasim, you know, three walls, four walls, whatever it is. But Chamasa Ruvish Lassa, Gemara doesn't spell it out, so Rashi feels the need to explain it. What's the basis for this? Okay, so therefore, watch this. He has to come with a compelling logic in svara, because as we said before, a psul is something that unless you have a gzeiras akasuv, assuming you have that entity of sukkah, so you'll need some leap and say, oh, but that's an invalid. But that's invalid. Right? You need some way to know that. How do you know it's invalid? Okay? I don't think there's anything. I don't think there can be something compelling in Svara to make something possible. Right, there might be something compelling in Svara to tell you you don't got what you think you got. But if you got what you think you got, how do you know that that's not a good thing that you get the Yotze with? Okay? So therefore, watch this. He has to, in his mind, create a scenario. And by the way, see you're taking good stock notes there. What this part you should save and put to the side for when we get to sugya Bays, which you'll probably be out of the country for. And that is, Rashi starts out when he says Vareyu Kamisha'eno. What does that imply? That implies that according to Rashi, at least conceptually, if you had schach, any amount of schach, there'd be no reason, at least compelling, without any zeres akasuv, and you shouldn't have a kosher sukkah. Who says it? We're all brainwashed. Oh, you need to have, you know, a lot of schach thing. Who says?
No.
Who says? Maybe you can have. You know,
you can't. You can make that duke, but you can't say that that's a compelling duke.
I'm saying, according to Rashi, you're right. But it's a compelling deal. It's not a compelling svara. It's a compelling deal in Rashi.
I don't think so.
Why not?
Because I don't think that Rashi is necessarily talking about schach. He could be talking about shade.
Yeah, you know, even shade. Forget about whether you're dealing with whether you're talking about schach or shade.
No, because it might require, you know, whatever, 3/4 full schach to make
even
shade.
Let's say shade. Let's say I talk shade. I'm not getting into now. That's going to be sugya beis. We're talking about schach or shade. I didn't mean to say schach. All I meant to say, let's say you say shade, okay?
Right.
All right. But the point from Rashi is, okay, that even if you had, okay, 20% shade, 10% shade, 2% shade, 1% shade, okay, it would be what? It would be a good what?
Right.
It would be a good sukkah. Okay? So my point is, Rashi has to emphasize that it's like it's not there. Kamisha Eino. Like it's not there at all. Now, why does he have to do that? Okay? Why does he have to do that? L'chaira, you know, if it has a little bit of schach, okay, and a lot, you know, it has a little bit of schach, and a little bit of shade, or half schach, and a little, maybe that doesn't puzzle, because again, because there's no reason necessarily to assume that this should be, this is what, at least according to Rashi, that shouldn't be a good chafetz shel schach. Again, whether or not you're dealing with a 50-50, that's going to get into the next sugya. 50-50 schach and no, and airspace, or a little bit of schach and, you know, a lot of airspace. The point is, to Rashi, the only way he's going to come with a compelling, okay, svara, that you do not have a kosher sukkah, you do not have a sukkah without any gzeiras hakasevs here, is if he does as follows. There's no schach, and that's why he then goes on. The al shema schach kruyas sukkah. The whole lot, the whole basis for sukkah to be a sukkah, is if you have schach. And if you don't have schach, there's nothing to talk about. So again, I'm not committing on the earlier psulim. Maybe in the earlier psulim, the early psulim could be that you have a lot, a cheftas shel sukkah. You might be able to resurrect the intro to the intro. You might be able to have a chefta of sukkah with psulim, with blemishes. Or maybe not. Maybe some of those early psulim also, especially if they're you know, joined together in the Mishnah, maybe those also are not lot, are psulim that render the lot, the sukkah and non-sukkah from the get-go. But for sure, in this lot, in this last psul, the only way Rashi, and this is what I think he's saying, the only way Rashi can get to a svara analysis, okay, that will, on one hand, be somewhat of a chiddush, in the sense that, you know, the chiddush, I guess, is the kamisha eino, and that's why the Mishnah has to tell us this. But on the other hand, once you know, have the Mishnah being mechadish to us, it's a logical svara as to why there wouldn't be what? A sukkah at all. I'm just saying, there's no logical svara why you have a sukkah with a psul. But there could be a logical svara why you don't have a sukkah at all. And that's it. Once you get rid of the schach, okay, and Dr. Lavi, whether you get rid of the schach via the fact that it's not a shade producer at all, or because now the schach is no longer there, again, that we'll get into, the bottom line is, he's creating a scenario where there is no schach. And once there's no schach, there's no what? There's no sukkah. Therefore, no need for any pasuk. You just need the Mishnah to, teach us this yisayin. You know that there's no schach there, and once there's no schach there, so then there's no sukkah. Okay. Now, yeah. What?
You could say it's because he didn't have a limud, Rashi, and so he needed for there to be no schach. Or right. It's possible that you know, without being forced into it, his understanding of, let's say, chamas, right, of chamas and merubah mitzalasa, is that unless you have more than half shade, that's not considered shade. I mean, that he actually...
Why is he ever saying that he can be she'eno? Like, there's nothing. It's like there's no shade.
No, I understand. No, I...
He's emphasizing that. To him, once you have that, then you're going to have this chavetz shel schach. Again, that part is a big chunk of this that needs to be hashed out when we get this to your base. But for our purposes, that's key here, and that will now then this will then now flow into the next part of the shiur. And that is, as you got through all the, you should have gotten through all the Rashis that I had you see. The next Rashi by Rabba, when Rashi feels the need to explain to us Rabba's limud of Leman Yedu Derosechim ki besukos hoshafti es b'nei Yisrael, right? So Rashi, and from there Rabba learns out that the psul of the Malam Ichaf is lo shalta ba'ena, that a person's peripheral vision will not, you know, readily recognize the stach if it's l'malam ichaf. So Rashi feels the need to tell us, how do you know we're talking about stach here? Maybe the sukkah, right? So that's why he says, look what he says. Rashi, Dibra Maskil, lo shalto beina, she'ena ro as a stach. And you see Rashi, v'sukkah hainu, stach kishma. You could have said, what do you mean? You see the sukkah? You see the walls of the sukkah. You have a kosher sukkah. You see the walls of the sukkah. You haven't seen a sukkah. So he says, no, sukkah hainu, schach kishma. Rashi again. By the way, just to give you a little bit of, he got to the Ritva. Somebody got to the Ritva. So the Ritva says, no, sometimes schach can mean, sometimes sukkah can mean schach, sometimes it can mean the whole sukkah. You got to know what you're talking about, okay? But Rashi, not going to, Rashi says, you go again on Daf Yud Beis, when he's explaining the Mishnah, when it says, Kulan, all the psulim of, you know, Dover Shere Makabal Tuma, something gets Gidulei Karka, the psulim of Schach, right, that it has to be Eina Makabal Tuma, the requirements of Schach, and namely the psulim, which if it was Makabal Tuma, it's not Gidulei Karka, all those psulim, Kulan Sheirin Lefanos. They're all going to be okay in the Defanos. The Defanos can be made of metal, can be made of leather, can be made of things that are Makabal Tuma. Okay? So, Rashi says, the Kol Sukkah Hakosu, right? Srach Mashva. Right, the pasuk of the asvecha megarnecha mikvecha, which is referring to the sukkah, he says the kol sukkah hakasuv, the sukkah of the psukim is schach. The dofen lo ikri sukkah. Dofen is not sukkah. Ah, we learn out the what. The gimel defanais from sukkah, whatever that limud is. That's a yisire de krah. That's not learned out from, you know, sukkah marriage, like straight out, without referring to the sukkah. It's not a limud that you learn out from sukkah. You're learning it out from the extra yisire de krah. Again, you know, it's going to need more analysis when we get there. But that's Rashi. Okay? So it's interesting. These last two Rashis emphasize that sukkah always refers, sukkah of the Torah, the Chayra always refers to schach. The first Rashi, interestingly, he says, al shema schach kruya sukkah. Here where he's not, you know, talking necessarily a bit about the what. The pasuk says it a little differently. Al shema schach kruya sukkah. We're going to come back to Rashi, but first let's now move in to the Machlekes Rambam and the Rush. So as you all saw, the famous Machlekes Rambam and the Rush that some of you might have been familiar with if you learned Sukkah before. And that is, on Daf Tes, we have the Limud of Atzei Sukkah Asurin Kol Shiva. Minayin L'Atzei Sukkah Asurin Kol Shiva. Talmud Loimar, Chag Asukos, Shivas Yomim Lashem. Matani Rabbi Yudah B'Seir Omer, Kishem Shechal Shem Shomayim Ala Chagiga, Kach, Chal Shem Shomayim Ala Sukkos, Shem Chag Asukos, Shivas Yom Lashem. Ma Chag Lashem, Af Sukkah Lahashem. So to this, you all saw the Rush and the Rambam. The Rush says B'Ferish, V'hai Di Asirei Atzei Sukkah. This is a Rosh Siman Yud Gimel. V'haida Asirei Atzei Sukkah Haida Dafka Haschach Aval Atzei Hadufonais Mishra Shari. The V'chol ma'id d'arshinan mechag ha-sukos haynu dafka b'schach. D'lekamon gabei soles doren v'yakev. Now, if we just had the rush and we had our rashis, we would assume everything is great and we're in good shape here. However, he goes and he quotes the Rambam, and you saw the Rambam as well, pretty straightforward Rambam. Let's just read the Rambam, and then we'll read the Rosh. The Rambam says, the Farish in Sukkah, Perek Vav, Tez Vav. He says, Atze Sukkah, Asurin Kol Shmonas Yimei Achag, Bein Atze Defanais, Bein Atze Schach, Ein Neyosin Mehen, Ledavar Acher. And he goes on, Kol Shmonas Yayamim, because it becomes Muksa, Bein Hashmasha, so... And therefore, even the eighth day, fine. That's why the Rosh says, "The low care Rambam Zal Shekasav Atze Sukkah Asurim Kol Shiva Shmonas Yimei Achag Bein Atze Defanois Bein Atze Tzvav Bein Meyosem Mehen Davar Acher Kol Yimei Achag." So we have here a big machlokes Rambam and the Rosh. So obviously, you know, our first gut would be that, you know, the Rosh is very established, especially based on what we saw, the Limud, etc. And L'chaira, Paschus would be that Rashi would go. We agree with the Rosh. Paschus. Although we'll see, maybe yes, maybe no. Okay. We'll see. So what would be the svara of the Rambam? What's pshat in the Rambam? What would the Rambam hold? So.
Transform that.
Oh. What?
What did
you say? You're according to Ritva?
No, I didn't hear what he said.
Oh. So comes Seth, and he says, as Pashtus, Soloveitchik might have said like this, that the Rambam's chaylik on the Rosh, well, according to the Rosh, the defunis might be pure, what we call hechsher sukkah. Obviously, there are certain requirements, right? You know, you need to have, the Rosh would agree with the Mishnah, you need to have three defanos. So there are halachic requirements in order for the sukkah to be kosher. According to the Rosh, that's merely hechsher sukkah. But sukkah is only in the what? Only in the schach. Masha'en came. The Rambam said it. Seth said it very nicely. The Rambam holds that no. Okay, that once you have the schach and the walls, so even if the schach, and even if you say, and by the way, now the way you just said it, Rashi can go with the Rambam too, if you realize the way you just said it. Because, especially if you go with that first Rashi. True, right? Al shema schach kruya sukkah. But then, once you have the schach, the whole entity with it, right? The walls also become part and parcel of the sukkah. You might have the schach being ikar sukkah, okay, or the core of what makes a sukkah, but at the end of the day, okay, the walls also have what? Have Shem Sukkah. Okay? That's the way Seth learned, that's the way Rav Soloveitchik. The truth of Rav Chaim is quoted not saying that. And it even sounds like Rav Chaim has support from the Ran. Because if you look at the Ran, okay, in Beitza, which you don't have, I'm sorry, I didn't photocopy, I should have, I thought all the Marmakimas were either in Kaivetz, Gemara, or Rambam, but this one was in, so I'll read it to you slowly. It's the Ran on the Rif in Beitza. Not that much to read, so I'll read it to you. It says, the Atze Sukkah, listen to this, the Mitzri Af Defanos Bichlala. So look what he says. Shegam Hain Srichin Lehechshe Sukkah. So Rav Chaim is quoted, and this sounds like from the Ran as well, but no, the Rambam agrees with the Rush that there is no Shein Sukkah per se in the Wad, in the walls. Right? And that's, by the way, one of the appealing approach to the Wad, to the Ran's approach, Rav Chaim's approach is, once something has Shem Sukkah, so L'chora, okay, I'm going to explain it in a way that should answer it, but once something has Shem Sukkah, so then, like as the Rush said, why shouldn't it have the requirements of Lach, of Psoles, Goren, the Yekev? Okay? So comes Rav Chaim and he says, no. It's a much more limited machlokas than the way Seth said it. Okay? And that is that, no, both the Rush and the Rambam say this is required, these are Hechsher Sukkah, the funos are required for a Hechsher Sukkah, for a kosher Sukkah, but it's not Sukkah. But anything that is in the makeup of what? Of a kosher sukkah, according to the Ran, that's what he says. Although the svara of Seth, I think, is more appealing, the strict lashon of the Ran and Rav Chaim is, no, that they understood that atzei sukkah, anything that what? That is necessary, a necessary ingredient to the what? To the making of a sukkah is bichlal the what? The yisr. And by the way, that's how the Ran says, Hechsher sukkah here doesn't just mean that which is utilized for your sukkah. Hechsher here is hechsher in the most literal sense, that without which it would not be kosher. Okay? These are what, right? And that's why he says, if you added a wall after, this seems to be adding a wall after, and maybe when you do it all together, because then that's the way you made it, okay? But for sure, when you add a wall after, that's not going to be what? That's not going to be us, by the way. That itself, interestingly, might be a nafgamina. If you learn the Rambam, not like the Ran, right? Does the Rambam doesn't distinguish between the two, right? It could be that according to the Rambam, even if what? Even if you added a wall afterwards, right? Maybe that's your deal, Seth. Rambam doesn't distinguish. Could be even if you added the wall afterwards, it would be what? It would be puzzle. I mean, it would be. Have the Kedusha and Chal Shem Shemayim after, because it becomes part and Nichlal in the Sukkah. It might not be necessary for the Hechshera Sukkah, but it becomes part of the Shem Sukkah. I think the truth is the way Seth said it, I think it's possible to be Miyashev, okay, what Seth was saying, or the Rav's, the way the Rav is brought down, if you check the Rishimos, that's what Seth is saying, and what Reb Chaim is saying, and yet shouldn't you even said it, I think, the way I'm going to say it, and that is, see, you look at the Rishimos, he brings it down simply straight up, what has Shem Sukkah? The walls and the, you know, schach? Or just the schach? That's the way it's brought down in the Rishimos. I think if you say it that way, you know, it's a little problematic, as I said, because what about Psoas Goren, the Yekev and all? But I think the way Seth said it is like sort of like an in-between of the way it's brought. And that, namely, that everyone holds, I'm suggesting right now, that everyone holds the walls are, in essence, I think it's the way you said it, in its essence, don't have Shem Sukkah. In its, the Atzmi is don't have a Shem Sukkah. It's merely a what? A Heksha Sukkah. But the Rambam holds, okay, once you have the schach, okay, so then everything that is required in the what, in the makeup of the sukkah, has Shem Sukkah. And by the way, that's very appealing from a svara standpoint. Even the Ran is much more appealing that way, because why should it have Shem Shamayim? Because it's the hechsher, the chayre, Shem Shamayim ala sukkah. Shem Shamayim ala sukkah. So that's all he means. Anything. Right? And by the way, they have this whole chakira, you know, by hechsher mitzvah, right? Is hechsher mitzvah a chelik in the right? A chelik in the mitzvah? Or is it, you know, separate from the mitzvah? That's sort of what we're saying right now. But not in terms of the hechsher mitzvah, in terms of the maisa mitzvah. But they were talking here, they were talking in terms of the chefter shel mitzvah. Usually we talk about the Hechsher Mitzvah in terms of the Maisa Mitzvah, you know, going ahead and is sweeping Veshav, Kavod Shabbos, sweeping Veshavis, is that, you know, part of the why? It's just a Hechsher Mitzvah that becomes part of the, you know, Maisa Mitzvah. So there is the Maisa. Here we're talking about the Hechsher Shal Mitzvah. The same idea. The Hechsher Mitzvah, that would be the Hechsher Mitzvah, could get now endowed with the what? With this Shem Sukkah. And by the way, I think that's Mashma from the Diyuk we made in Rashi. When Rashi said, Al Shema Schach Kruya Sukkah. What's Kruya Sukkah? The whole Sukkah. Because then you would just say, Ren Rashi would have said what? He would have said, the Schach Hainu Sukkah. That's not what he says. Okay? And you have the Ritva as well, who says, okay, sometimes what? Sometimes they refers to Sukkah as a whole, and sometimes it refers to Schach. Why? Because, and now look at Tosfos. I'm not going to get into the whole complicated Tosfos in the bottom, but look at this Lashon. Mikol Makom, he's distinguishing between something that is innately, inherently, in its physical makeup, kva, as we're going to see in Rava's Shita. I don't know if any of you saw it yet. And you could have in the walls, you could have real permanent steel wall in the ground. Goes to say, but you might not be able to have a mamash, a real permanent structure, physically, in the schach. Why? Even a, right? He says, mikol makom bischacha sheikar asukah. Look at this lashon. Ikar asukah al shem aschach lo miskashra ad the oven. Once again, okay. And yes, the walls are sukkah. And yes, you know, as we're going to see, there are going to be halachas in the walls. Okay? As sukkah. And depends on what. Okay? But the what? The ikara sukkah is the schach. Hashta the asas lahachi. Now we have to ask ourselves the rush. going now totally the other extreme. Could it be that even the Rosh agrees? There might be Shem Sukkah. The Mai Nafka Mina is a good question. We have to see. But I don't think we should discount it. Especially if he agrees, you know, and we find this Lashon that we see in Taisis in the Rush. It could be that the Rush holds that there's Shem Sukkah also in the walls, but Chal Shem Shamayim is where? Now that we have this Iker Sukkah concept, maybe Chal Shem Shamayim in the Iker Sukkah. What the Nafka Mina would be, I'm not sure. Because if you hold it, you know, in the end of the day, there's not Chal Shem Shamayim there. So the Mai Nafka Mina, if it's only Hechsher, or if it has a Shem Sukkah. Not sure, but it's important, just from a conceptual standpoint, to have that possibility open. And that is, I believe, this sugya in a nutshell. We have a couple more minutes. I just want to tell you how I understand this bomb kasha on Rashi, and we'll get to it more later as well.